Good morning. Good to have you all here this morning. I will apologize in advance for the number of things I have to tell you about before we get started, but I guess I'm the communicator sometimes. I've thought I should have that on my card instead of minister, communicator. First of all, one that I did not plan on, thank you for all the Preacher Appreciation Day stuff. I don't know if that's a real day or if you guys just made that up or what, but I've been getting stuff all morning, which has been kind of nice, enjoying that. You're very good at keeping a secret as a group. I had to laugh because the last time I had like a preacher appreciation kind of thing, when we left our last church, we had just started our 14th year, and they decided when we left, they were going to present us with a plaque at the last service that we were at. And what they forgot is that I am on the church leadership email list. And so I'm following this whole email string about, should we give Brian the plaque at the beginning of service or at the end of service? Or should we all come up there? What's going on? And I'm just laughing to myself thinking, they have no idea I'm getting these emails. But I had no idea anything was going on. So I started being presented with stuff this morning and I thought, not sure what's happening here, but gradually I caught on. So thank you. And I feel appreciated all the time, but it was kind of nice this morning. And I appreciate you too. I don't know when Congregation Appreciation Day is, but I better start saving up, I guess. All right. A few things. One, if you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. I hope you'll stick around and let us get to know you a little bit. This past Sunday, we started on Sunday evening our new life groups. And if you cannot tell this about me already, I'm excited about this. This is something that I hope would be something we would consider doing somewhere along the way, and I'm glad that we have jumped on board with this. Last Sunday evening, we had 59 present altogether. We had 36 in homes, 23 here at the building, which is about 20 more people than we normally have on a Sunday evening. So I was very excited about that. Each group had some folks in there that are not regular Sunday evening folks that I hope are going to become regular Sunday evening folks. So if you thought all these announcements have not been to you, they're to you. So think about being a part of one of those. There are still sign-up sheets back there that you can sign up and be a part, see where they're all at. There is one in almost every part of town. So if you're driving entirely too far to get here in the morning, you don't have to drive as far to get there in the evening. And there's also one here at the building, of course, that you can be a part of. With the one at the building, something you will want to know about, beginning tonight, if you will park in the front instead of in the back, which is going to change about 40 years of habit for people, I think. But if you will park in the front instead of in the back, you will be meeting in the foyer tonight. Carl is moving your location out to the foyer, partly because as folks drive by, they can see that there is a meeting going on here. And if they want to stop in, they can, partly because it's a pretty room and why not get in there. So whatever you normally do, try to remember to come in because that will be the door that's unlocked. And if you get around to the backside and you wonder why the door's not unlocked, that's why it's not unlocked. So consider this evening be a part of one of those. Also, if Sunday evenings are pretty jam-packed in your house, there is a group that meets at Roger Dale's house on Mondays. And if you want to talk to Roger about when that group meets, it is a coordinated effort between Roger and some folks at the Santa Clara Church. And so you might meet some new friends. It'd be great if we had a bunch of us there and a bunch of them there and got to know each other. But you can talk to Roger more about that on Mondays. All right, what else we got? Okay, church safety. A couple things here. One, I have been bugging you about background check if you work with kids. It's time to get serious, late-coming Oregonians. I know we like to wait till the last minute on everything because that's what we do. You are now there. This is the last minute. The deadline for these is Thursday of this week, which means if you're going to do it online, you have until Thursday to do that. If you're not an online person and you need a paper copy, they are at the back, or you can track down Denise or myself to do that. If you do not have that background check information done and you work with our children, then we're going to be scrambling to find someone to teach your class next week. And I really don't want to do that, mainly because I'm going to have to find somebody to teach the adults so I can go teach them, I guess, because I'm already cleared, so we're all good. But please don't put us in that corner. We don't want to do that. We want to make sure that everyone is going along with this and that we can ensure the safety of our kids as best as we can. So simple process. It takes about 30 seconds to fill the form out, and I'm not exaggerating. It's real quick. So please do that online or get the paper copy if you need to. and do that by this Thursday so that we can have you ready to go for next Sunday. Also along the line with church safety, because of everything that's happened in our state recently, this is at the forefront of a lot of folks' minds, the idea of safety. And I think we all probably understand at this point in America, there is no possible way to completely guarantee everybody's safety all the time. It is just a crazy world in which we live. But we try to take steps we can, one of them being the background checks for our kids' classes. Another thing that we do that you may not be aware of, once we are in here at this point, and sometime before we've gotten here, when we're singing and doing communion and all that stuff, every door other than the front doors are locked. So all the back doors leading to the back parking lot, the ones leading to the fellowship room, the ones leading to the gym. So there is one point of entry here. So theoretically, if somebody comes in that we're not sure what's going on, there's one place for them to come. Now, the cooperation we need from you with that is don't prop other doors. I know it's convenient. I know you want to go grab something out of your car. You need a break from listening to me, whatever it might be. But do not prop another door. If you need to go out a back door and you want to come back in, take a buddy to be there at the door that you can knock or something like that. Or exercise. It's Oregon. We like exercise. We'll walk around the building, come back in this side, and you'll be good to go. So please don't prop one of those doors because they are actually locked for a reason. And half you guys have keys anyway, so just, you know, let yourself back in. Take the keys out of your pocket. It'll be okay. All right. Last but not least, I think, if I remember the list right, we have our men's area-wide breakfast coming up on October 24th. We will be talking about the story of Jonah and the idea of running from your calling, which I think a lot of Christians spend an awful lot of time trying to do. We have something that God has given us gifts or talents for, and we spend a lot of time trying to hide from those talents as best we can. And so we're going to talk about stopping hiding from those talents, and see in the life of Jonah how we might be able to find some encouragement in that. So if you would like to, as Roy said, if you'd like to help out with cooking, talk to Larry. I'm sure he will put you to work. Or if you would like to just be here and be a part of it, we'll be here from roughly 9 till 11, and there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board back there. All right. Oh, there was one more. I forgot. There's actually two more. Bernice is going to be leaving us soon to go live with a daughter, if I remember right. I'm trying to remember all my stories all at once. She has been here forever, I think probably literally forever. And we're going to miss Bernice a lot around here. We're going to celebrate Bernice's time with us here at the church after we're done. We're going to have some cake and some other things. For me, I will miss Bernice, and at the same time, Bernice is the one who keeps me honest, because I know if I say something wrong, she will know. And if I use the wrong scripture somewhere, she's going to know that I have done it. So someone's going to have to take up that, or not, feel free not to. But I'm very appreciative of Bernice and the fact that she knows her Bible inside and out, and that's a great thing. All right, last but not least, trunk or treat. And you might ask yourself, what on earth is trunk or treat? We are going to do something to attempt to reach out to our community. We've just had our Community Appreciation Day not long ago. We had our VBS during the summer, and we really feel like we are positioned at a good place here in Eugene where cars pass us all the time, and they know something's going on over here, but they don't know quite what is going on over here. We are going to, on November 1st, have our first, I hope, annual trunk or treat. Now, kids go trick-or-treating this time of year. You probably either turn your light on outside your house or turn it off. You have a big barrel of candy there, or you don't. We learned last year in our neighborhood that trick-or-treating is huge. We live in a cheap little apartment complex on one end of all these really nice houses. And we walk down that street, and we're getting full-size candy bars and all kinds of stuff. It was great. And you also know that our world, like we've already talked about, is a crazy place that is not safe. And so as a safe alternative and a way to plug into our community a little bit, we are going to have trunk or treat right out here in our front parking lot on November 1st in the evening. Now, this is kind of what it looks like to give you an idea. You will get your car, and we will line them around kind of in a U shape, and we will decorate our trunks, thus the name trunk or treat. Now, you can be as involved or uninvolved in the decorating as you would like to be. If you just open your trunk and have candy in there, normally that's frowned on in society, but here it's okay. If you just open your trunk and have candy in there, kids will not mind. But if you put some time and effort into this, it's actually kind of fun. And we will, as part of this, have a trunk contest where we will actually encourage, for one time, judging. And we will judge the trunks and choose the best one. This trunk is kind of a basic fall kind of theme with a spider there. This one is a superhero set up, and the folks that had this trunk, this is another church, they dressed up as superheroes to go along with their theme. This one is a deer blind. Any hunters among us? You can embrace the inner Cabela's among you and be a part of that. This one is just a fall. If you are a if you're a decorator or you're creative like Stephanie Kornman and others among us, you can just decorate this, and Hobby Lobby is about to open, and you can get all your stuff there for that. Some went with the Wizard of Oz theme, and I only got part of them in this picture. The youth minister that followed me at my last church started the trunk or treat thing. And they had the whole cast of The Wizard of Oz, but this is part of them. And then, of course, they've got the Emerald City there in the back of their minivan. So that's kind of the idea. We're going to be doing that on November 1st, which is hopefully everyone will still have their costumes and everything. We encourage it to be friendly. Please do not make your zombie, crazy, bloody trunk. This is not what we're trying to do. Something that's just kind of friendly and happy and nice. But get involved, and we'll invite our community and advertise this, and hopefully you can come be a part of that. If you want to have the standard Halloween discussion with me, come on, and I will talk to you about why I feel like it's okay we're doing this. I understand. We come from all realms. I don't want to disrespect that, but I do know that the world around us engages here, and if we can engage and do it in a less witchcrafty zombie kind of way, in a more happy, kid-friendly kind of way, then great. And that's what we're trying to do. So that's coming up on November 1st. Now we're finally there. I apologize. All right. Galatians chapter 5. And I did not realize how bright our projector was, so we'll do the best we can with the sunlight there. But if you'd like to open to Galatians chapter 5, and we will begin in verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be no value to you at all. Now, before we get all crazy about medical things, let me give you a little setting here. In the book of Galatians, you have a lot of new Christians that were at one time Jews. And then you have a lot of new Christians who were at one time Gentiles. To the Jews of this day and time, circumcision was a very important thing between them and God that they did. It was a sign of the covenant between them and God. It was something that had been commanded in the old law. And so when Christianity came along, they still liked parts of the old law they wanted to hang on to. I would imagine for a lot of us, we would still do some of those kinds of things. In your jobs, as new technology has come along, there are pieces of it that you have been able to embrace because it simplifies your job. There have been other pieces of it that you have a very hard time embracing because you've done it that other way since the beginning of time. I knew a lady when I worked at an insurance company. We did spreadsheets because that's what insurance companies do. And so we did all these spreadsheets. And if you don't know about spreadsheets on a computer, you can plug numbers into these little blocks on your spreadsheet and it will add them or divide them or whatever you need to do to them. And this lady viewed the spreadsheets as a giant piece of graph paper on a computer. And she sat with her adding machine and added all the numbers and then plugged the added numbers into the spreadsheet. And when I started doing spreadsheets, they couldn't understand why I was doing it so much faster. And it was, I had embraced this technology, she had not. In church life, we do the same kind of things. When changes roll along, some of us embrace them, some of us don't. And I will tell you, I have found myself, talk amongst yourselves. I have found myself on both sides of that. There are changes that come along that I really like, our life groups. There are changes that come along that I really don't like all that much. And nothing comes to mind off the top of my head, but sometimes I have to slowly catch up. The projector. Now, I was not here when this came in here. I have no idea what things were like when it came in here. I remember the first time I saw one of these thinking, I don't know about that. I don't know about words up there on the screen. That's not how Paul did it. That's no. And I would have a hard time catching up sometimes. And the church in Galatia was no different. They had Jews who, this was a very important part of who they were. And so as a result, they would say to these new Gentile converts, you must be circumcised too. Which if your parents made this decision in the hospital shortly after you were born, is not all that big a deal for you. Horrifying for them maybe, but not a big deal for you. But if you're an adult coming into this new religion and this is not something you had done, this is not welcome news. This is not something you want to hear about. And so when he says that it's for freedom that Christ has set us free, he tells us not to be burdened. I think we have a tendency sometimes to burden ourselves. Now, I don't know what that burden is for you, but there are things that we do, things that we keep on ourselves that are just a struggle. Speaking of the projectors, I saw a discussion online a couple days ago. Keith Lancaster, if you don't know him, he's a worship leader in the Churches of Christ. We went to an event up in Kaiser where he sang last fall. Keith Lancaster had put up a video of him leading, actually it might have been Christian Chronicle that put it up, but he was leading 728B, which means something to some of you and means nothing to others of you. Okay, 728B, if you grew up with the correct songbook, was Our God, He is Alive. And I sang in a singing group shortly before I got into ministry. We recorded that song on our album, and if you look on the back of the album, all it said there was 728B. And everybody knew. They knew what we were talking about. And the discussion that developed, it was people that really enjoyed the song, people that liked the memories of it, and then somewhere midway through, there was somebody that said, with paperless hymnal, no one's even gonna know what that means anymore. Those projectors. And they started, and I thought, this is me, like 10 years ago. This is who I was. And I thought, we get burdened down with stuff like that sometimes. In all reality, it doesn't matter if our grandkids have any idea what 728B means. I hope they still sing the song. It's a good song. I hope they appreciate it when somebody puts a video up of it. But if they don't connect it with the number 728B, life moves on. Now, for me, it's taken me a while to get to where I could say those sentences. Because I like 728B. I like it that way. These Jews liked the way they were doing things, and they wanted to bring it into Christianity. And Paul writes to them here in Galatians, don't be burdened with that. There's enough going on already. Don't create extra things that you have to worry about. And then he moves on in verse 3. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. He would say to them, don't be alienated. Because what they're doing is picking and choosing. They're saying you need to be circumcised. And you know why they're saying that? Because they're circumcised. You need to be like me. If you would all just be like me, everything would be so much better. And we would all drive each other crazy. There are things that we like to pick and choose out that we decide you must do these things. These things not quite so important. This morning in Bible class, in the adult class, we talked about at the end of Acts chapter 2, they sold their possessions and shared and gave to the poor. Great story. Anybody selling anything this afternoon? I don't want to. Most of us probably don't want to. We like our stuff. We've gathered that stuff. It's taken us a while. It's value to us, and we don't want to get rid of it. We're not quite as quick to grab that verse as we are to grab some other verse that we really can latch on to, largely because it's something I don't struggle with. And so I can grab onto that one and go. And he says to them, don't be alienated, because if you're picking out circumcision out of the old law, you can't do that. You got to pick all of it. And even these new Jewish Christians understood that all of those 600 and whatever laws that they were following, it's tough. And you're going to slip up and you're going to mess up. And this new system of grace, this is great. The idea that we can be forgiven when we fall short, the idea that God has something greater in store for us, we like that. And so Paul says, you can't just pick this one and leave this one behind. You've got to do something very much different. He says in verse 5, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now, let's be careful and not just take this one verse and just like Paul said about circumcision. Let's not take this one and just grab it out and say, okay, Paul says here that this is the only thing that matters. Paul writes about a lot of other stuff too through the Spirit. A lot of sins we need to avoid, a lot of good things we need to do. But when it comes down to it, this sounds an awful lot like the greatest commands that Jesus would throw out there, which is love God, love your neighbor. The thing that really is going to matter here is, are you showing faith and are you showing love? Because if you're not, then the state of some of these old things that we bind on each other don't really matter a whole lot. If you don't show faith and you don't show love, and you know exactly what I mean when I say 728B, that doesn't matter to the world around us. And it probably doesn't matter a whole bunch to God either. Because knowing the little code language is great, but showing faith and love is what really matters to him. He says in verse 7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. We can persuade each other of a whole lot of things. We can be pretty convincing with one another sometimes. And a lot of times it's not for the better good that we're doing that. It's for me. I like it that way. And so I'm going to persuade you that this is important. This needs to be the thing. This needs to be above everything else. And the Spirit here through Paul would say, well, if we're not talking about faith and love, then no. If we're talking about these other things that we're binding on one another, that persuasion is not coming from me. That persuasion is coming from somewhere else. And then he says it's just a little yeast works its way through the dough. And if you have ever dealt with baking bread, which is, if you don't know my baking abilities, not one of my core things, not something I'm incredibly good at, the yeast is incredibly important. If you don't handle the yeast just right and put it in just the right place and at the right time and just the right amount, everything is thrown off. My baking of bread comes in the bread machine that we got for our wedding gift. That's how I bake bread. And I follow instructions to the T, except there was one time where I bought the wrong kind of yeast. And so for several times, I tried to make bread over and over again, and I ended up with this little brick. Tasted very bread-like, but man, that thing was dense. And then finally I decided, well, maybe I'm just not putting enough yeast in there. And so I put a whole bunch more in there, and then I end up with something that exploded out of my bread machine. And I thought to myself, of all the stuff I put in, this is the one that calls for the quarter teaspoon that I didn't even know we had. And I finally found this little tiny spoon in there and put just a little bit of, and it works its way through everything. If we have complainers among us, they work their way through everything. We have folks among us that would just have it just this way and no other, works their way through everything. And like a lot of other things that we talk about, it could be me too. I could very easily think, this is the thing that we must do, and I could work hard to convince you of that, and I could be wrong too. And Paul would say to us here that there's a persuasion that we have to be aware of. We have to be aware of the motive behind it. We have to be aware of the spirit behind it. And we have to be aware of the bigger picture of who we are as Christians and who we are as a church and what it is that we're here to do. And so Paul would say, don't get caught up on these old law things. Don't get caught up on these extras that you're trying to just demand of people that they must do it this way. That's not true. That's not of us, and that's not the persuasion that's coming from the Spirit. I am confident in the Lord, verse 7, that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. And before we leave that verse behind, I want you to think for a minute. The one who's throwing you into confusion. Oh, a little confusion can go a long way to mess things up. If we're not all together, if we're not all unified, it doesn't take much confusion to get us off track. And if you have ever been in the midst of something that is confusing, in a group of people where there is confusion and people don't know what to do, it's hard to accomplish much of anything. I've been on these tornado, flooding, hurricane relief mission trips several times. And I can remember vividly the first two that I went on. The first one I went, the guy who was in charge was good. And he knew how to get a group of people to do what a group of people needed to do. And so what you have is a group of, we were college students at the time, and we come out there and we have no clue what we're doing. We've never been in a flood area, have no idea what to touch and what not to touch and how to handle things and what needs to be torn apart and thrown away and what you need to try to save. And this guy got in front of all of us and said, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. Anybody has a question, come find me or come find this guy. And it worked. And 100 college students were able to get something done. Went the next year after a tornado, same kind of situation. without the leader. And everybody was confused. And everybody was walking around in this field that had once been a church building and wandering around wondering, what in the world do I need to do here? No one knew. And finally, someone was able to kind of grab the reins and move it forward, but there was an awful lot of confusion. That yeast that works its way through the dough, sometimes it can be confusion too. Sometimes it can be something that works its way through and makes us begin to question everything. And then we find ourselves just standing in fear and doing nothing. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Pretty strong language out of Paul here. And he says here that the offense of the cross has been abolished, if we're going to stick to this. We forget sometimes the role of the cross in all of this. The cross changes everything. The cross makes it so all those little things out of the old law that once seemed so important are now not as important. The things that this one group of Christians is trying to bind on another group of Christians is not relevant when it comes to the cross. And I think sometimes if we would look at the cross as we do these things, if we would look at the cross when we do something differently and say, does the cross allow for this? Does the cross abolish this? If I don't trust in the cross, is that what I'm saying when I'm unwilling to do what needs to be done? If I'm going to spend so much time worrying about the projector or whatever else is coming around, am I saying the cross doesn't have the power to take care of things? And that's what Paul would say to this group in Galatia. You've got to understand that there is a bigger picture here that is the reason that Jesus came. So the tough part is, which one's which? Because surely as we start cutting things out and doing things differently, eventually we're going to hit something that matters. And then we begin to struggle. That is why having the Bernuses of the world around us is helpful. Because when we have people here that know their Bibles and understand when we're heading off in the wrong direction, then we can fix it. But sometimes we want to just stop a little too short of all that because we're just not used to it. And for these Christians in Galatia, this is a message that is very much a message for us today too. There is a world around us that looks to us for what matters in life. There is a world around us that looks to us to find out what's important to God. And sometimes we send the wrong messages. We had a list of things on our board in the adult class this morning of what the church is supposed to do. And then I asked that group the question, what do you think the world thinks the church is doing? And that list is very different. And I think part of that is because of issues like these. When these Christians get caught up on something like circumcision that's not supposed to be a relevant thing anymore under the new covenant, the world around them sees the infighting and just laughs and shakes their head and moves on. And for us, does the world around us see some sort of infighting over something silly, or do they see us worrying like Paul said and like the Spirit put on his heart to say about faith and love? Are we showing faith and love instead of these other things? If you come this morning and you find yourself worried about a lot of things that are just not really all that significant, then you're probably a little bit like the rest of us, because we all have stuff like that. And we all need to encourage each other to be better about stuff like that so that the true message can get through. If you come this morning and you think, you know, this Jesus that I'm hearing about now, this God that I'm hearing about that is concerned in faith and love and grace, that's a God I want to know. That's not a God that I've heard a lot about, because we haven't always given the right messages. If you come wanting to know that God, then we'd like to introduce you this morning. If you come and you need to take him on in baptism, if you want to change your life today, we'd be happy to do that. If you have something in your life that you think, you know, I really would like to do better there. I'd like to improve. I just need prayers. Whatever need you may have this morning, please come as we stand and sing.